11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome along to the Football League podcast, looking ahead to this weekend's action in the Championship. No Lee Phelps this week, so I'll take over in the presenter's chair. My name is Mark Walton, but luckily we still have Mr. Pete Farries with us. How are you, Pete?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm a man who doesn't know enough about horses to be anywhere near Cheltenham this weekend or this week. So, well, to be honest, there's probably not much going on this weekend. But this week, certainly, yeah. So Lee's off there and you and I will pick through the form in what's, I think, a really interesting week in the Championship.
It is an interesting week. It's all, well, it's obviously, we're getting pretty close to the end of the season now. It's all just notched up a little bit of a gear, hasn't it, in recent weeks. And we've seen the Championship being the Championship. Any team can beat any team on the day. It's quite a remarkable league, isn't it?
Well, it's frightening, isn't it, to think that Ipswich have dropped out of the playoffs. At one point, they looked certain to get promoted automatically. The fact is, there's only one point between fifth and first. It is a crazy, crazy league at the very top. And at the bottom, well, it might start to feel for Wigan and Millwall like they're getting cut a little bit adrift. Obviously, Ian Holloway has lost his job since Neil Harris in charge until the end of the season. But Blackpool, as I think Lee Clark understands, are done. You then look at how much profit they've made. And you think that maybe some of that money could have gone into improving the playing staff. But that's how Blackpool have decided to run the club, and there they are, the bottom of the table. The top of the table, though, is utterly fascinating. I know that the Championship is often very, very tight up there, but this is the tightest, certainly at this stage of the season, I can remember it for a long time.
Yeah, as you mentioned, only 5 points between first and seventh. The top four, all on 66 points. There's only goal difference separating the top four. It's quite a sight, really. And two of the teams that are in that top seven are Middlesbrough and Ipswich. They play first on Saturday, an early kick-off for them. It's on Sky, so we'll start with that game. Middlesbrough 17-20, the draw 23-10, and Ipswich 3-1. Middlesbrough went on a very long run of playing very well and not really coming unstuck against teams, but of late they've become a little bit more patchy than they probably like, and I suppose you can say similar about Ipswich. So how do you see this going, Pete?
Yeah, it's intriguing, isn't it? Borough, their recent five-game form is lost, of course, against Leeds, then won, then lost, then won, and then lost. So they're a strange old side at the moment, Middlesbrough. Rumours this week that they're actually on the verge of completing a deal for Jordan Rhodes, which would be a loan until the end of the season, and then a purchase, which would be a phenomenal signing. But when you think of the attacking talent they've already got there, Yelavussen, Patrick Bamford, you know, you go further and you look at someone like Kike, Lee Tomlin can play in that kind of role, although he's not a striker. They've got some real quality there. They've actually also called Luke Williams back from his loan spell. So there is real quality there. Borough's problems have come predominantly away from home of late anyway, although there was that home loss to Leeds. Other than that, they've beaten Cardiff. They've beaten what is becoming more and more a very good Charlton side. They narrowly got past Bolton and obviously strolled, as recently many have done, their way past Millwall. So when I was looking at this game, I was thinking, well, I do quite like the price on Borough at home at 17-20, but Ipswich at 3-1, despite their patchy run of form, you know, they've signed Chris Wood, for example, which is a great signing. And the other thing to say about Borough is that recently they have not really done brilliantly against Ipswich. In fact, they've struggled. But when you look at where that's happened, that has happened. I mean, they've lost three of the last five meetings between the two sides, but the three they've lost have all been at Ipswich. And the other two are two that they've won, and they've both been at home. So if you want to look at that kind of thing, if you want to look at a head-to-head, then that's an intriguing head-to-head that really, it tends to be the home side that are victorious here. And for me, that's exactly where this is going to go. Middlesbrough at 17-20. I do not think this game is going to come anywhere close to a romp, not even close to a romp. I do like the headline offer, which is Patrick Bamford to score and Borough to win. He needs to maybe get his eye back in a little bit more again. Patrick Bamford, I think his confidence has maybe dropped a tad. But the other thing to say is match result on both teams to score at 100-30 for Middlesbrough, which I think is a really, really good way in. Now, that's not a regular lander if you look at the head-to-heads, but I think that Borough at the moment defensively look a little bit frail, which is why they've struggled a little bit away from home, whereas Ipswich, I think we're going to lose the game, but I do think make a mark. So Middlesbrough 100-30 match result on both teams to score. This is a massive, massive game for both of these teams for different reasons. And I think Borough might just about come out of it on top, but it would be narrow. I mean, the other market you could have a little look at here is Borough by a goal and the handicap ties. So Middlesbrough minus one, Ipswich plus one, 13-5. And I suppose with all of that, those ingredients, I suppose I'm looking really at a 2-1 here at 15-2.
Yeah, fair enough. Good stuff. So Ipswich to, Middlesbrough to sneak past Ipswich, and in the opening game that we looked at there, Leeds against Nottingham Forest is where we'll go next. Leeds 9-5, the draw 11-5, and Nottingham Forest 11-8. Leeds have turned things around a little bit. They're now 13th in the table. They've staved off the threat of relegation for the time being anyway. Forest up to 9th now. They had a little bit of a wobble, didn't they? But they've hit very good form of late. So it's two teams really that look different propositions to maybe a month or two ago.
Yeah, absolutely. For Leeds, it kind of feels at the moment that Chelino was told he couldn't be massively involved. Leeds have kind of managed to get going and kick on. I think there was roots certainly starting to grow before that. I'm not saying it's all because of that, but it almost feels a bit like a marker in a way, doesn't it? That since then, Leeds have kicked on, and for Forest, it's no surprise really. They changed their manager to Dougie Friedman, who I think is a very, very, very good manager. And well, how can I put it? He's turned Forest around. He's got them scoring goals as well, Mark. It's frightening. They've just beaten Middlesbrough, which is a great result. Hit three past Reading, beat Bournemouth, smashed Bolton. They are in absolutely exceptional form. But Leeds, when they've hosted good teams themselves this season, have done really well. Hosted Bournemouth, hosted Ipswich recently, both of them beaten. Hosted Derby this season, beaten. You know, they are a side who, when big clubs come to town, Borough went there, beaten. You know, when big clubs go to Elland Road, they struggle at the moment. And this youth that Neil Redfern is bringing, now, whether or not they can keep them, it seems unlikely. The likes of Cook, Taylor, Moa, who I'm mentioning every week, whether they can keep them or not, that's a different kettle of fish. But what is unquestionably certain is that these young lads have kicked on. And yeah, there's been good performances. Sol Bamba's been good recently as well. Liam Cooper, the guy they brought in from Chesterfield, who I've had a lot of experience of watching, is a really composed, clever, expansive centre-back. He's good with the ball at his feet. So they've actually started to have the core of a really, really good side. I mean, it's no surprise to anyone who's seen Alex Mowat recently that 11-5 anytime mark is exceptional value. He takes free kicks and scores free kicks, as we've seen recently as well. He's in good goal-scoring form. He's getting himself involved. I mean, Mark, you're a man who watches Leeds yourself. I mean, he's a talented lad, isn't he?
He is. He's very, very, very good. Technically very solid. He never stops running, and he's got a bright future, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Talking of a Scotland call for him as well, aren't they, at the moment?
Well, 10 of the last 12 games. I mean, if you look at since the beginning of January as well, you know, for Forest, for example, their games have been over. So I think it's actually 11 of the last 13. Certainly this year, it's been rafts and rafts of them. And with like the likes of Moa able to pick a goal out, Billy Sharp, of course, got himself in goal-scoring form recently. Henri Lansbury's in brilliant form goal-scoring-wise. He's 5-2. So all of this mixed together, it is brilliant. But I think we get rafts of goals here. I can't believe the price in over 2.5. Last night, it was 21-20. Bit annoyed. It's even money now. But it is still a wonderful bet. I mean, let's just go from January onwards for Forest. 2-0 against Wednesday, okay. 3 goals, 5 goals, 1 goal, 5 goals, 3 goals, 8 goals, 5 goals, 3 goals, 3 goals, 3 goals, 3 goals. And yeah, okay, with Leeds, it doesn't land as often at home. You know, it just doesn't. But we know the talent they've got in that side. And if I'm honest with you, I do think Leeds are a little overpriced here. When in form and good sides, like I've mentioned already, the likes of Borough and Bournemouth and Derby and so on, when they've gone there, Leeds have done them. Leeds have done them. They've got no reason to fear anyone in this division. The only thing that might possibly creep in is a little bit of, well, we're safe and we're probably not going to get the playoffs. So it may be a little bit of the old beach towel syndrome might start to drift in. But I think after the way that the season was at one point, none of these players are going to want to feel like that, because they're going to want to keep this momentum going. And also, they're going to think, well, you know, after how horrible early season was, why do I want to not finish the season with a flourish? Draw no bet Leeds at 21-20 the other way in. But I love the overs goals at evens, Mark. I really do.
Okay, plenty of goals and Leeds to win then. In that one, we move on to Charlton against Blackburn next. Charlton are 17-10. The draw is 11-5. And Blackburn are 29-20, rather. You mentioned at the start of this how Charlton have become a very good side, Pete. So do you think they'll win this one?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Simple as that. Yeah, good.
I do. I will put it this way. As a punter, I don't see a reason to oppose them. That would be how I would phrase this if I were recording a podcast. that's how I'd phrase it. I can't think of a reason to oppose them. Blackburn played in the week, of course. They've still got this game against Liverpool hanging in the ether. Charlton are at home. The young players I mentioned last week continuing to develop, looking very, very good indeed. They've won four of the last five games, if you're looking at just five-game form, hitting three past Wigan, three past Huddersfield, two past Forest, beating Cardiff away at Cardiff, which I appreciate isn't sort of monumental in terms of the team they've beaten, but the form is brilliant. Guy Luzon, who I've already mentioned, I think tactically, when I've seen him at Standard Liège, for example, I was never quite sort of sold on him, but the fact of the matter is that the job he's doing at Charlton right now means you can't help but be sold on this guy. They're playing really good football. I'm really enjoying seeing these young lads more and more, the likes of Gomez and Cousins as well, who I've seen. And Blackpool's away form is not brilliant. I mean, okay, they've been at Derby and Watford and lost. That's fair enough. Drawn at Cardiff, drawn at Bournemouth, and just beaten Wednesday. It's not abysmal, but it's not backable for me. There's also suggestions, despite the fact that John Rhodes scored the other day, that there's a little bit of unrest behind the scenes about the way the club and the way that possibly one or two individuals are going about what's happening with Jordan Rhodes, which you can understand at this stage of the season. They're safe, Blackburn. There's no real problem. But if you look at this side, at 17-10, in the form they're in, with the way they're scoring goals, Vetekele starting to get himself back on the goal scoring list as well, of course, scored against Brentford at home. You know, I know Gudmundsson has been also a man that you've liked the look of. Watt, Bouleau, these guys are getting goals, but they are looking so solid and they're looking like they're winning games. And quite frankly, right now, with Blackburn having played in the week, with all that's going on, and I know they won in the week against Bolton, but Bolton are injury ravaged. And for me, 17-10 Charlton as a punter is still good. It's not quite as good as it was last week at 17-5, may I add, but it is good.
Okay, looks good. Could you try and squeeze a bit more value out of there with both teams scoring or something like that? I mean, obviously Jordan Rhodes is a constant threat, although his head might have been turned slightly this week. But
well, he did score the other day, I suppose, didn't he? So you kind of say, well, he did score, and he is a natural-born goal scorer. I think the only way I'd look at this is I don't think I'd look at Charlton and both teams. I think I'd go instead to a market in a way that many of us tried to factor that kind of eventuality in, which was the team to win and over 2.5 goals. We used to play this an awful lot, didn't we, before the market came along with the both teams and a team win, because it wasn't, you know, it gave you two eventualities. Your team could win and both teams could score, or your team could hit three. And I'd rather play that in a way, which sounds a bit odd, but we have seen them, especially at home recently, Charlton, scoring a lot of goals. So Charlton winning over 2.5 goals at 17-5 mark might be the way to play this. I mean, again, like I said, it would have landed in the last three Charlton home games. And you know, Blackburn, they do score, but if they don't, it might not be the end of the world for you.
Okay. That's if anybody wants to squeeze a get a bit greedy, I suppose. I mean, 17-10 about Charlton's perfectly fine price.
Second best form in the league. You know, yeah. I think it's actually joint with Norwich. So it might be just goal difference or something that's separating those two. But right now, you're getting a really informed team who are flying at the moment. And, you know, that flight will come to an end. But at the moment, for 17-10, with what's going on at Blackburn and their game in the week, I think it's a good enough bet.
Okay, fair enough. Moving on to a team that have been flying for most of the season in Bournemouth. They take on a team that haven't flown at all in Blackpool. It's top against bottom. Bournemouth 2-11, the draw is 5-1, and Blackpool are 12-1. Not only is it top against bottom, Pete, it's the highest scoring team against the team with the worst defence in the league. So does this lead to goals and a Bournemouth win?
It leads to goals and a Blackpool win. I'm only kidding. I mean, how could I possibly even come close to justifying that? I mean, I'm sorry for any Blackpool fans listening. It must be a genuinely horrible time. It must have been a season that you just want over. And I can completely understand that. Bournemouth have... I'll put it this way. My brother is a big UFC fan. And there's an Irish fighter over there at the moment, Connor something, I can't remember his name, who's going through everyone, basically, at the moment. And he's talking the talk, and people are saying, he's all talk, and then he's walking the walk. And there's been one or two fighters recently that he's fought that he has absolutely just piled into. And even though he's beaten them, he's wanted to lay an extra three or four punches. He's wanted to really batter them. And in a way, that kind of feels how Bournemouth have done it things this season. When they come across someone who shows even a slight bit of weakness, they take that weakness and they smash them very, very hard seven or eight more times. Birmingham, for example, that 8-0 victory, Birmingham were down and out at that point, and Bournemouth didn't give them a second, not a second's quarter. They've been to Blackpool already this season, of course, and smashed six past them. They're off the back of hitting five past Fulham. And the fact of the matter is that they are looking like, if you are showing them even the slightest bit of weakness, they will take that small weakness and they will blow you to smithereens. Minus three goals in this game is 7-2, Mark. Minus four is 8-1. And minus two, if you want to play that, is 6-4. I don't see Blackpool even... I mean, I think it might be akin to them not actually being on the field.
Wow.
And I really hate talking about a club like this because Blackpool's fans have had a crazy time. I've met quite a lot of Blackpool fans. Have always been really lovely people to talk to. I think Lee Clark has had an impossible job to do. You know, the news in the last, 7-10 days about the profits is good for the club long term in terms of their financial position, but not in terms of footballing positions. And this season, I mean, if I was a Blackpool fan, having to watch week in, week out what's happening to the team, would be utterly heartbreaking, and you've just got to be so sympathetic towards Blackpool. But in this game, in this podcast, we're punters, we're betters here, aren't we? And the minus two at 6-4 is just brilliant for me. Bournemouth are going to score a ton of goals. I think Blackpool might lay a glove in terms of scoring once, so you could look at your match result and both teams to score at twos, but I think it's going to be brutal. And I'd also look at other things like Matt Ritchie, for example, off the back of a brace already. He's 6-1 for two or more. Anytime 23-20. He said the same about Pittman at fours, two or more. Anytime 17-20. If you start Wilson, look at him two or more. You can look at a lot of players two or more here. Any player you want to back for one, back for two in this game. I think it's going to be absolutely dominant football. And yet at times, Blackpool have managed to rein good teams in. Middlesbrough, for example. But this isn't even on the Blackpool pitch. This is going to Bournemouth. So, for me, the reason I picked this, because I was looking at the 2-11 and thinking, well, obviously the 2-11 is going to be a good bet with the way that Bournemouth play, but I had to go deeper. And those handicap markets, and I've actually I've had a fiver on the minus four at 8-1. I think it could get really, really heavy.
Okay. AFC Bournemouth, the Conor McGregor of the Championship there, then.
Derek McGregor! Yeah. That was it. That was the name I was looking for. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. He's good value as well. Have you seen his yeah, he's...
I've watched a few of his... but basically, my brother came over from Thailand in the last week and he loves UFC and he's been taking me through all the UFC stuff. And he showed me loads of interviews with him and...
like he's a very big, brash, isn't he?
Yeah, like a press junket and stuff like that. Because I'm not too interested in UFC. But he was a real character and I was enjoying watching that, and he was saying that some UFC fighters, when they know that they've got someone beaten in the next two or three moves, they'll just try and kill them off and not really go too brutal. Whereas this Irish guy, I saw him just go, right, I'm just going to punch you as many times as I possibly can in the face until you collapse and give in. Pretty brutal, but yeah. That's the way I look at Bournemouth at the moment. The yeah. Conor McGregor, there you go. Not Colin McGregor, that was a footballer. Conor McGregor, you're absolutely right.
Okay. Birmingham against Huddersfield is the penultimate game we'll look at. Birmingham 21-10, the draw is 12-5, Huddersfield are 9-4. Birmingham, three unbeaten, kind of safe now in the middle of the table in 14th. It looked a bit perilous for them earlier on in the year. They take on a Huddersfield side who, again, I kind of, on the day, okay, and on when they're not on the day, they seem to get thrashed. So what happens here?
It's a really interesting game, this one. I chose it because this is two teams that, you, in that summary there, Mark, you've almost described what's sort of going on now. Birmingham were looking like it was game over for them, but Gary Rowett's gone in and just done a masterful job there. Real credit toward him. He's one of, if you actually look through the league this season, there's actually been quite a lot of very good managerial changes, hasn't there? When you look, there's been, I mean, Neil Lennon pulled, I know Bolton aren't exactly 100% safe, but Neil Lennon got them going again. Dougie Friedman's got Forest going again. Guy Luzon's got Charlton going again. Neil Redfern's got Leeds going again. Gary Rowett's got Birmingham going again. The teams that have made changes on the whole this season, it's worked. doesn't it? Norwich.
Yeah.
You know, Norwich change manager. That's worked. So it's a really strange season because sometimes you see people change manager and then it all falls apart, doesn't it? Whereas this season, more often than not, whoever's changed the manager has got it going. And that's really sort of a strange and interesting position. The reason I've chosen these two teams is because I know several people who went to the Huddersfield. In fact, who've been to the last three Huddersfield games. And the phrase, every single one of them, not one of these people know each other as well. They're just independent, two journalists and one fan. All three of them have said the exact words of, Huddersfield are on the beach. That's what they've said. Every single one of them has said they look like they are just wanting the season to end. They're done. They know they're not going anywhere. They just want the season to end and they want to go home. Now, 11 points, you know, there is an outside chance they could find themselves in a relegation battle. I doubt it. But they got battered by Charlton, battered by Brentford, and a Rotherham side who I'm not entirely convinced they're 100% safe, did them pretty comfortably 2-0 the other day. Birmingham, well, they don't look like they're on the beach, despite their relative safety as well. They've been good at home recently as well. Yes, they only beat Blackpool 1-0. That was a good performance from Blackpool, to their credit, on that night. They beat Brentford. They've drawn with Norwich and Borough at home recently. They're a really good side. Birmingham at 21-20 at the moment has to be the play. Has to be the play. But with the way their games have been going recently and the fact that I think Huddersfield might concede and then just go, yeah, okay. I quite like Birmingham win and under 2.5 goals at 7-2. You know, the unders would have landed in the last five Birmingham home games. That's obviously something that Gary Rowett has been focusing on. And I'm not convinced that Huddersfield really get themselves going if they do go behind. So I'd look at Birmingham and unders at 7-2. I'd look at both teams to score and unders. So no and unders at 7-5 as well. Gives you a few more eventualities. Should Huddersfield win? Should it be a 0-0 draw, for example? And ultimately, I love the Birmingham price at 21-20.
Okay, yeah, I like it. Good stuff. Birmingham then to win that one, and the final game is Brighton against Wolves. Brighton are 23-20. The draw is 11-5, and Wolves are 11-5. Brighton, they were in trouble earlier on in the year. They've kind of turned the corner a little bit since changing manager. One of the teams that you didn't mention in there. Wolves, they've kind of been flirting with the playoffs all season, but lost to Bournemouth and then drew with Watford. I suppose they're respectable enough results. They weren't thrashing either of those. So where do you see Wolves at this point in the season?
I think they've had a great season. I think Kenny Jackett's done... he was exactly 100%. He could not have been more the right man for the job when they brought Kenny Jackett in. They were floundering. They were disorganised. It was all over the place. It was erratic. And Kenny Jackett is not a man who will give you that kind of football. He is a man who will get everything on a solid, level footing. And yeah, you know, in the past I've criticised his record when he was at Millwall. Away from home, he couldn't get his Millwall side going. But right now, there is not a single thing you can criticise, I don't think, Kenny Jackett for. I think they've done a really, really good thing in getting him in when they did. And ever since then, they've obviously gone up and they've obviously looked really, really solid Wolves. So first things first, you have to look at Wolves and you have to look at them at 11-5 has been quite a good price. Brighton, 3 wins from 5. Chris Hughton, as you've said, has done a wonderful job there. They've gone away to Bolton and away to Reading. You know, the games at the Amex recently, games they've won, beating Birmingham, Leeds and Derby. And they're actually really good against Leeds and Derby as well, those two nights. But Wolves, you know, they've been away to Bolton. They've won at Huddersfield. They've won at Cardiff, which isn't quite as good. And they've lost, like you say, good teams, Norwich and Bournemouth. I have a real feel for Wolves this weekend. I don't quite know where it comes from. Not that they're a bad team or that it's a shot to nothing, but I have a real feel for them. The way they play their football, I think it's going to counteract, despite the fact that Brighton have got some of their better players playing now, I think it's going to counteract the fact that Chris Hughton wants to try and get pace down those wings. And I think Wolves defensively are excellent on either side there as well. They've got really good counter-attacking qualities within them as well. Wolves, not that they're a counter-attacking side, but they can soak up pressure away from home and then hit. So 13-10, draw no bet for Wolves is, I think, actually pretty good value. Yeah, their form is pretty good overall, 3 wins from 5, but you know, 2 of those 3 were at home. They're a side who deserve respect, Wolves. So are Brighton, but I think the Wolves might just be able to sneak this as Brighton themselves comes to the realisation that not 100% safe, but 3 or 4 wins and there's only one place that could really kill them.
Okay, so Brighton to be undone by Wolves there at the Amex. We've been through quite a bit there, Pete. What will be your best bet for the weekend?
Oh, well, I might be getting greedy. I possibly am. But I look at Bournemouth. I look at the way they're scoring goals. And I really loved Charlton. I was really thinking, oh, back Charlton here. But as much as their form is phenomenal, I'm absolutely dead set on the fact that Bournemouth go to town. Go to town on Blackpool this weekend. You know, they can show no quarter, can they? It's very tight up there. So that, at that point, it's, well, how much? Now, minus a goal is 11 to 20. I'm not going to back that. Minus 2, 6 to 4. Minus 3, 7 to 2. So it comes down to, do I want to play the minus 2 at 6 to 4? Do I want to play the minus 3 at 7 to 2? I'm going to play the minus 2 at 6 to 4. I think I really am so convinced that Bournemouth just pile into Blackpool. You know, don't forget Lee Clark last week said it will take a footballing miracle for Blackpool to stay in the league. And I don't believe in God. And I don't believe in miracles particularly. And I don't think that Blackpool are going to experience one. On top of that, I do believe in a team utterly punishing teams when they want to. And Bournemouth are probably the main example of that in the lower league football right now. Minus 2, 6 to 4. Although I love the minus 3. I'm going to go slightly safer.
Okay, Bournemouth minus 2. Pete's best bet. Lee will catch up with the naps and everything when he's back next week. He'll give you the totals and what went on this week. But in the meantime, thank you very much, Pete. Good luck and enjoy this weekend.
Thanks, Mark. Good luck, everyone.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information. William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.